Reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech, my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give to your Father glory in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of Christ.
Grace to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. I'm drawn to two parts of that reading that I think come together. Jesus saying, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And then at the end, "For unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And you might think of this part of the reading. So this is just after the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And you might think of this as a bit of an overture or a prelude to what Jesus' ministry is. This is early on in his time, some of his early preaching, as Matthew lays it out. And the people listening wouldn't know what the rest of his life and time would look like, but we, looking back, can see how this might fit together with who he was. So it is good for us to remember his way of healing and his way of challenging the Pharisees and the scribes, his way of caring for the weak and those who were otherwise ostracized, and of course his self-giving, his rejection of a violent revolution, and his choosing of a peaceful end and offering himself to death. And we see the power of God in his resurrection from the dead. So we see all of that, and we hear that taking shape in this short piece. It's tied in with the law that went before. So he's speaking of the Mosaic law. If you've ever read through Leviticus, and there are all kind of laws about shellfish and the sacrificial system and all these pieces that the Hebrew people were called to do and attempted to do. The scribes and the Pharisees, those who kind of held the torch of that law to say, this is who we need to be. And they were zealous in their keeping of the law. And we know that Jesus had a lot of challenge for them in how they kept that law. So I don't think he is saying something positive in the sense that you need to be more righteous than the Pharisees and the scribes. I don't think he is saying that, but kind of the opposite, in saying that these people among us who are trying so hard at their religion, they are trying so hard to get it right, you have to be even more right than them to get what I'm talking about. And I think he's almost taking them and flipping it upside down to make a point. Which brings us to that word fulfill, that he says, I'm not here to abolish the law, I'm not here to deconstruct that, but I'm here to change the way it's held, and I'm here to fulfill it. And the image that comes to me is when you're at someone's house, and maybe someone without thinking poured your glass of wine and it's only half full, and they just gave you, 3 ounces of wine or something like that. And then someone else, one of the other hosts, sees your cup of wine and says, what are you doing with so little wine? And they go and they get the jug and they fill you up, not to 6 ounces, but, till the glass is overflowing, because they know you needed even more. And that's the image that Jesus is bringing, saying, I'm here to fill things up. I'm here to the Greek word has that connotation of filling it up to the brim and overflowing. I'm here to the law was empty, and I'm here to fill it with something that was not there. The word also means a sense of completion, that he was in his ministry, in his life, was coming to complete something that had not been completed. We look back and we see from the cross, he says, it is finished. This sense of completion that we experience. And what I hear we are to draw from this is that this has never been about getting it right. That Paul says the law was like a caretaker. The law was there to teach us something. The law was there to maybe reveal something in our world that was not there before. Paul says it reveals sin. It reveals our weakness. It reveals our frailty. And maybe the whole history of the Old Testament is on some level showing our human frailty, that we tried to get this right and we could not. And we have, the bigger part of our Bible to prove that to us of how frail we are if we did not believe it ahead of time. And then the ministry of Jesus to say, you have been an empty people, and I'm here to bring a fullness to what you are about. And so we are sent out to do good works. We are sent by Jesus to go and proclaim and bring good news and care for the poor and do these great things. But he very sharply in this reading and others says, but that does not bring you into the kingdom of God. That does not make you a child of God. That is not the source of your belovedness. But instead, your belovedness as a child of God comes simply from myself, from God's own self, that has chosen and created and made the world and made you in blessedness and thanksgiving. And so we can look back and see those who were failing under the law and understand that they were beloved by God. And we look at us on days when we think we are just failing at being a human or whatever it is, and we hear that we are beloved under God. And we look at us on days when we are thriving and we're doing amazing things in the world, and we understand that our belovedness does not come from those things, but we acknowledge them and give thanks for them, but they are not the source of our worth and what we need to be. It's a gift to hear that it is not the amount in our bank account that makes us worthy. It is not the good works that we do that makes us worthy. It's not our family structure that makes us worthy. It's not what kind of job we have that makes us worthy. It is simply the gift of God to say, I love you and care for you. You are my own. You are my beloved. The same words that he spoke to Jesus in those times. And this is good news. We ought to hold deeply onto this and run with it and understand that we exist within it. On an AGM Sunday, we think that it is not all the great things that we do as a church, but it is the power of God in our midst, in our frailty, that makes us a church of Jesus Christ and brings us where we need to be. So let us give thanks. Amen.